Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd welcoming you to the Thursday, November the 19th edition of the Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. I hope you're enjoying a good day in the Lord and have been blessed and are just rejoicing in the good things of God. I said just momentarily ago when I was making my voice tracks for the afternoon road show, I was talking about how that it's just 1 week from today will be Thanksgiving Day. Of course, today is Brother Ricky Vincent's birthday. I hope he's having a wonderful birthday and a good day on this day. But as I was saying, we're looking at Thanksgiving coming up in just a week. Of course, the offices will be closed here on Thursday and Friday at WSOF and Temple Broadcasting. But I hope you'll enjoy a good time with your family and have a good meal and just a good Thanksgiving, giving thanks unto the Lord. If you're saved, you have much to be thankful for. And if you're not saved, you still have quite a bit to be thankful for. But you don't know real life. You don't know salvation and eternal life. And so you don't have those things. But you can thank God for health. You can thank God for the country we live in, for the family God's given you. You can thank God that He does let it rain on the just and the unjust. In other words, He's good to people even that are not good to Him. He takes time for people that won't take time for Him. Amen. And you can thank God for that. But those of us that are saved, we can thank God that He has mercy and has had mercy upon us and has so richly blessed us with so many spiritual blessings. Amen. I think I understand a little bit about what the Apostle Paul was saying in the book of Ephesians when he talked about sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Talked about being blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. When we got Jesus, we got it all. Amen. And we have so much to be thankful for and so much to give God glory and honor for. Amen and amen. Well, having said all that, of course, this is Thursday, November the 19th. That means we're headed towards the Lord's Day. Just a few more days. I can invite you today and tomorrow. And then, of course, won't be on the radio on Saturday, but I can take today's opportunity and tomorrow's opportunity to invite you to come and be with us in the Lord's house on the Lord's Day. This coming Sunday will be just regular Sunday for us as far as nothing special scheduled, but we're looking forward to meeting with the Lord and hope that it'll be an unusual Sunday. Last Sunday was definitely an unusual Sunday. We saw folks saved by the grace of God, people getting right with one another. My, what a blessing. And still reaping those blessings. I saw it on Tuesday night in those young men and I believe even in some of the ladies, and saw it then on Wednesday as we had a good day in the Lord's house last night and just a good service, sweet spirit. And I want to thank God for that. Amen. And I praise Him for His goodness and His grace. We've gotten a couple of phone calls the last few days. I know at least one today from Sister Gruneau up in Evansville, and telling us how much she appreciates the station and that she listens to my messages and enjoys my teaching and preaching on this broadcast, as well as from the auditorium, and enjoys our family singing and all those things. I appreciate those kind words, and I hope that God blesses all of y'all just as good as He has me. I've been truly blessed. Amen and amen. Well, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer at this time. I'd like for you, if you will, call on the Lord with us and remember some of these requests that we're going to mention. We've been mentioning these over and over throughout the weeks and days of our program, and I hope that you'll listen to these and help us pray along these lines. Keep my wife in your prayers. She went today to have another blood test done, or actually called to schedule it, and the doctor said wanted to wait another month on that blood test. It was one just to check some of the markers and things that showed up in her blood the last time. And she had about 8 different blood tests, I think, yesterday. Had to go down to Hopkinsville to have that done. But this one was supposed to be something that they could do right here in Madisonville. And yet the doctor said wanted to wait another month, so we're just going to wait. See what the Lord has in store. But my wife's feeling much better, and I'm giving God glory and honor. I'm telling you, I love my wife. I thank God for her. I need her. And you men that are out there, you know, I hope you know how much you ought to be thankful for your wife, how much you need them. They can just be gone for a little while, and you'll recognize, as Brother Steve said, you'll find out just how spoiled you are. Amen. And how much you need. And that helped me. God knew that in the beginning. God said it's not good that man can be alone. And he was in a perfect environment. Yet God said he needs somebody. He needs a helpmate for him. And so God made one. Thank God. And that's what he made my wife for. and she's been a good helpmeet, and I thank the Lord for that. I want you to help me keep her in prayers that God would heal her body and strengthen her and help her. And then also, as we're praying, pray for Miss Lisa Bale. She had some tests done a few weeks ago. And matter of fact, on the Thursday of Marathon, which would have been a week ago today, she had some an MRI done, got the results back yesterday, I think, got the phone call maybe, and they want to see her on this coming Monday. They found some things of interest, and so she's concerned about that, of course, and we want to pray with her about that. We're glad that they found something rather than just saying, well, you know, can't see any reason for all these troubles. Maybe they've been able to find something that can pinpoint and locate her troubles and be able to help her through this. But I want you to pray that God give her grace and meet the needs there, and then her family there as well. Then Mrs. Hall's not been feeling well today, and we want to keep her in our prayers as well. I need to touch base with Brother Hall and see how she's doing, but last I heard she was not feeling well, and so we want to keep her in our prayers today as well. So if you can, go with us to the Lord in prayer at this time. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you so much. I want to thank you for loving me. And Lord, I had not known love unless you'd loved me first. And I want to thank you that you did and that you saved me by your grace. And in that, I experienced life and love, and I know what they are. And Lord, I just want to thank you. I thank you, dear God, for my wife. I thank you, Lord, for my children. I thank you, Father, for how that you've helped my wife in these days and how you are helping her. And I pray that you continue to, and Father, that everything will be all right. And knowing, Lord, that it is all in your hands and you're in control of our every breath and our every heartbeat. And so, Father, I pray that you'd touch her and help her now in these days and these situations. And also pray, Lord, that you'd touch Mrs. Hall, that you'd help her through the problems that she's having and has had. Lord, that you continue to strengthen and help her and heal her and have your hand upon her as well. And then Mrs. Bale, about the test coming up or the talk as they've done the test and whatever they're going to do in the future. Father, I pray that you would intervene and help there. And just get the glory and honor due thy holy name. I pray for Brother Kevin Franklin, our friend out there in Kansas with bladder cancer. Lord, would you touch him and continue to help him? Father, I pray for Mr. Johnson, Brother Herford's friend that's got colon cancer. Lord, would you intervene and help him? The young preacher that I just heard about yesterday, that his wife's got breast cancer and they're checking to see if it's not in other places. Father, I pray that you'd help there and the needs that are there and just have your way. Father, I pray now that you'd help us in our plans and goals and dreams about the future. And Lord, about the situation with our radio station down there in WAJJ, if it be your will to be able to allow us to be able to get some property, be able to have our own base down there. And Father, what a blessing it be that we wouldn't be relying upon another tower and paying the rent and all that goes along with that, but that we'd be able to have our own place and be in control of it. What a real blessing that'd be. But Lord, it's going to have to be a move of God. You're going to have to help us not only locate the land, we found a piece, but we're asking you to help us to obtain that. If that's the piece you want us to have, that you'd get the glory and honor. You know the expense. Lord, just the initial expense and then the added expense is going to be later on. I pray you'd help us, dear God, and do a miracle and get the glory. Lord, I pray that you'd use our broadcast today, and Lord, you'd save some sinner, draw the saints closer to your side, that you'd get the glory, we pray. In Jesus' lovely and wonderful name, we ask it. Amen and amen. Well, I appreciate you praying with us. We're going to be looking today in the book of Psalms, Psalm number 87, reading the first seven verses. That's, well, all seven verses of that psalm. And so if you want to find your place, Psalm 87, verse number 1 is where we're going to begin reading. And right before we do that, we're going to have a good song by our family. This is my son Benjamin and his wife Whitney, and they were here with us a few weeks back and sang for us. And this is a wonderful song that I hope will be a blessing to your heart. And it says, "Did I mention that I love him?" Well, amen, amen. How could you not love him? Amen. How could you not brag on him? Glory to God. Amen, amen. Well, I'm going to have to stop just a minute and regain my composure, and I'll be right back. All right, we're looking in the Scripture now at Psalm number 87. Psalm number 87, verse number 1. The Bible says in the title, it says, "A psalm or song for the sons of Korah." Verse number 1. "His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God, Selah. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. This man was born there. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her. And the highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there. Selah. As well the singers as the players on instruments shall be there. All my springs are in thee. Amen. Now, you may be wondering, what does all that mean? This psalm has got some in-depth meaning. It's a very symbolic language, as many of the psalms and poetic writing is. But I'm not going to give an exhortation on this psalm yet. I will in the days to come as we study this. But right now I'm looking at an introduction to the 87th psalm and dealing with that title, that phrase, a psalm or song for the sons of Korah. I mentioned to you that there are 11 psalms in our King James Bible that have that heading. It is a psalm or song of the sons of Korah, for the sons of Korah. They're dedicated to the sons of Korah. Those are Psalm number 42, number 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, then Psalm 84, 85, 87, and 88. And so I've been trying to explain a little bit about who Korah is and what's so important about his sons. And so in looking at that, we've looked at his descent, the fact that Korah was of the lineage of Moses. He was a first cousin to Moses. Had Abraham beget Isaac, Isaac beget Jacob, Jacob beget 12 sons, and one of them named Levi. Levi beget 3 sons, one of them named Kohath. Kohath begat 4 sons, one of them named Amram, which was the father of Moses and Aaron and Miriam, and one of them named Izhar, which was the father of Korah. All right. Now, Korah had sons, and let me go ahead and deal with this about his descent, that where he came from. He came from that great lineage, had a great opportunity. But when Moses had to deal with sin in the nation of Israel, when that God had given the commandments, and one of those commandments was that they were to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And he said specifically, strongly, God said, don't even gather sticks, don't even build a fire, kindle a fire. That's the way he said it, on that Sabbath day. And so Israel had a case where a man went out and gathered sticks on that Sabbath day. And so Moses locked him up, asked the Lord what to do. The Lord said, stone him. He knew the law, and he broke the law, and God was making an example out of that man. Well, Moses told the people what God said, and the people agreed, and they stoned this man to death. In our modern language, it would have been church discipline. As they followed the leadership of the man of God, the man of God said, we need to put him out. And God said, put him out. That's what the law, the word says. And the people said, okay. And they went through their church discipline and disciplined that man. Well, Korah and his crowd got upset about that. They dissented. They defied Moses. They were lawless. They didn't like the law because the law was beginning to sting a little bit and hinder them. They felt as if all of a sudden, instead of the law giving them liberty, they felt as if the law was binding them. And so they rose up against Moses. And in the scriptures, Numbers chapter number 16, it tells about the group that came and gathered with Korah. And then in the end of chapter number 16, verses 31 through 33, we read where that the earth opened up its mouth and swallowed them alive, and they went down into hell, the Bible says. Amen. But the interesting thing, as I started on my broadcast yesterday, is that Korah had descendants. Korah had sons that did not go the way of Korah. They did not follow those that were standing against the man of God. These descendants later were called themselves Korahites. And one of those was Elkanah, which we know to be the father of Samuel. And Samuel had the job of opening the doors at the house of God under Eli. Amen. And then, so that leads us to the fourth point that I dealt with yesterday. Their department, their location of service, was that they had the job of working in the house of God, in the temple, or in the tabernacle, depending on the time frame. And their job was to keep the doors of the house of God. Amen. They guarded those doors, and they opened those doors, and they kept those doors opened. Hallelujah. And I got to preaching and finished up yesterday on the fact that when you lay out of church, you're as if you're voting to close the doors of the house of God. But when you're faithful to church, you're casting your vote to keep the doors open. When you pay your tithe and give of your tithe and give special offerings to the house of God, you're voting to keep the doors open. Amen. When you're praying for your pastor and praying for the people at your church, you're casting a spiritual vote to keep the doors open at the house of God. Amen. And the psalm said, Psalm 84 and verse number 10, the sons of Korah spoke and said, "For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." They saw their daddy as he gathered those men in, and they saw their daddy as he stood against Moses, and I believe they shook their head and said, "Dad, we can't go along with that. Dad, we're going to follow the man of God. We're going to follow the word of God." As long as he's in that book. By the way, Moses was not out of the book. He was obeying the book. He was following the Lord. Amen. And I'm not saying that a man is perfect. I'm not saying that you ought to have allegiance to a man and make him your God. But I'm going to tell you, when he's in that Bible, or when you don't have good, clear direction from the Bible, then you better give him the benefit of the doubt. God said, "Touch not mine anointed, and do mine prophets no harm." Amen. And I'm going to tell you, you better be careful putting your hand or your tongue against the man of God. And Korah found that out. And his sons found out that there was a blessing not to go with their daddy, not to go in those tents of the wicked when they're gathering in and conniving and coming up with a way to try to get rid of Moses and try to depose Moses and try to take their own stand and capture the leadership of the congregation of Israel. Amen. Listen, all over our country, there are places where the man of God's trying to stand true to the truth of the Word of God, and yet there's people in those congregations, they don't like the Bible, they don't like the restrictions, they don't like the old-time way, they want to go more contemporary, they want to go more liberal, now, they've got all their ideas, better, quote-unquote, ideas about how we're being too strict, we're being too harsh, we're being too narrow-minded, we're listening to that old book, and we need to change things around here, and they're right. Rising up in defiance against the law of God. Amen. And they're gathering in their tents of wickedness, and they're conniving away how they can starve the preacher out, or how they can run the preacher off, or how they can bring some railing accusation of some kind that might get him run off from his place of standing for the truth. Well, these young men decided, "We're not going to go with Daddy. We're not going to go with those men that are going with Daddy. We're going to stay with the man of God, and we're going to stay with the things of God." Amen. And amen. And they were blessed for doing so. Now, here's my last point about these young men. Their deportment. Their deportment. In other words, the showing of zeal in their life. They lauded the house of God. They had praise for the house of God. Now, I mentioned about these psalms that are written to and for the sons of Korah. And it's amazing to me that in these psalms, we have some of the greatest statements about God's house made by these psalms that are dedicated to the descendants of Korah. Look with me, if you have time, back in Psalm number 42. Now, I'm just going to read through a few of these verses. It'll be quite a lengthy reading, and you'll have to hang with me as we read. I'll make some statements and underline and underscore some sentences that I hope will be a blessing. I'm not going to read it all, but just portions so you can see the zeal and the laudations, the glory that they give to the house of God. Look here, Psalm number 42 and verse number 1 through 4. The title says, "To the chief musician, Miskel, for the sons of Korah. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." You remember that great verse and these verses here? This is David, the psalmist, writing about how he's longing for God and how he's got a hunger for God. And he's writing this to these young men that loved God more than they loved their own flesh and blood. Amen. Look at verse 2. "My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude." Look here. "I went with them to the house of God." I underline that phrase. "I went with them to the house of God." How did you go? He said, "With the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Hallelujah. We ought to have zeal like these sons of Korah. They are pursuing after God, and they're rejoicing to go to the house of God. Listen, it's not a drudgery when we have special meeting. It's a blessing to be able to go a special time. It's not a drudgery to go back on Sunday night after you've been on Sunday morning. It's a blessing to be able to go back on Sunday night, even after you've been there on Sunday morning, because you're hungry for God, and you've got a zeal for God, and it'll cause you to go to the house of God and rejoice when they say, let us go to the house of God. Amen. Isn't that right? That is right. All right. Well, I didn't realize that I was that close to being out of time. But let me encourage you, friend. Listen, you ought to hunger after God. God ought to be more important to you than any ball game, any television show, any family reunion, anything. God ought to be number one in your life. And if He's not number one in your life, you've got false gods. You've got idols between you and your God. Amen. Thank you for listening.